We are in Ephesians, right? We're going to be in chapter 2 tonight. The book of Ephesians is about... Oh! Our riches in Christ. In Christ. It's riches in Christ. It's in Jesus. But all through Ephesians it says, in Christ we have this, in Christ we have that. We started out with that memory verse. You remember? 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Y'all remember that, right? I thought you did. Yeah. Yeah, but that's it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual gift. We're not lacking anything. We've got everything that we need in Christ. We've been looking at some of these spiritual blessings, and we've seen a bunch in chapter 1. You remember, he chose us in verse 4. He predestined us to adoption as sons in verse 5. He made us accepted in the beloved. I love that. Verse 6. We have redemption in his blood, verse 7. We have forgiveness by his grace in verse 7. God has made known to us the mystery of his will. In verse 9, we have obtained an inheritance. In verse 11, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, we have a guarantee from God of an inheritance. In verse 14, we have been given, Paul asked, that they would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We have been given that. Whoa. The eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. We have seen the exceeding greatness of his power working toward us who believe. Verse 19. We're rich, man. We may not have any money, but we're rich. Right? We have real wealth. Wealth that is eternal. That we can take it home with us. Right? Right? It's never going to wear out. We're always going to have more than enough. It's eternal. It's real wealth. So the first three chapters of Ephesians tell us about our riches in Christ. The last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, tell us how to apply those riches. What do you do with it once you got it? We need to know that. In chapter 2 here, we're going to be looking at more stuff. More riches that we have. Paul finished up in chapter 1 speaking about the power that God has exhibited towards us. He was talking about the power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Then in chapter 2, he says, and you he made alive. Still speaking about that power, right? And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Oh, it's miserable. It's awful. You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This was our state, our former state. This is in the era, in the year, B.C. before Christ, right? We were dead in trespasses and in sins. Trespasses, that's willfully jumping over the fence, right? Y'all know that. Okay, there's the fence. No hunting. No whatever, right? Thou shalt not, I'm going over. That's trespasses. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Unknowing things that you might have done. Oh yeah, there were trespasses aplenty. There were sins aplenty, right? But where sin abounded, grace abounded even more, right? Oh, it just gives me chill bumps. Just think, oh Lord, He's so good. It says here that He made us alive. You know, the most amazing thing to me is that in the midst of sin and trespasses, we think we've got it made. Right? And sin for a season is pleasurable. Right? Come on, it wasn't just me. Y'all, you can tell on yourselves, I know. Right, you were doing things that you weren't supposed to be doing, and you were going, man, I've got it made. I was young. I wasn't fat. I was buff. Yeah. I was a firefighter. I worked out every day. I had money. I got paid very, very well. Lived in Anchorage, Alaska. Everyone got paid very, very well. Had money. Had a house. Had a nice car. Nice stereo. I got it made in the shade. Hanging out in bars, right? Chilcoot Charlie's. Their motto was, we cheat the other guy and pass the savings on to you. I think I was the other guy. Hanging out at Gussie Lamour's dance hall and saloon. Alcohol, drugs, a wasted life. And I thought, I've got it made! Oh, this is so wonderful! It was empty. There was never enough alcohol. There's never enough drugs. Huey Lewis is singing that song, I Want a New Drug. That's how it is. Always looking for a higher high, a better high. No, try this. This is better. You'll like this. Always looking for something, but nothing seemed to satisfy. Why? Because I was dead. I was dead. I thought it was living. But my life, it was just empty. There was no meaning to it. I work 10 days a month. I'm off 4 days in a row, and it's go from bar to bar to bar. You know, I wouldn't go out on Friday nights. That was amateur night, I said. You know, I was a professional. It was disgusting. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. Isn't it interesting that God chooses to repeat Himself? Yeah. Yeah, why? Because sin is pleasurable for a season. And it's okay, we think. And we think we've got something. Sin is so deceitful. It deceives us. It tells us, you know you're empty when you're living a life going from bar to bar, drug to drug. This is a sad, pathetic life, folks. It's emptiness. But sin tells you, no, it's okay. It's okay. Man, it's just life, man. You know, you'll get it off this drug. You get it off this meaningless relationship. You'll get it from here, you'll get it from there, when the only place you really get life is from Jesus Christ, right? Death. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. That's what I earned. I was out there working very hard for my wages. And my wages were death. Y'all were there. You know, the Bible, it talks of three deaths. There's a physical death. Every time we look at death in the Bible, it speaks of a separation. A separation. There's the physical death. You stop breathing, heart starts pumping, the spirit separates from the body. It's separation. There's the spiritual death, right? That's when you are spiritually separated from God. Oh, you can be walking around going from bar to bar, but if you're like me, you were the night of the living dead, right? That's what it was. I was walking, I was talking, but I was still dead because I was living in sin. And it tells us in Isaiah that the Lord's hand is not short nor his ear heavy, that he cannot save, but our sins separate us from God. So when you're living in that type of life, you're living a spiritual death. You are walking dead. Just haven't fallen over. You're separated from God, but you're not. You're physically alive, but you're spiritually dead. The third death in the Bible is that eternal death. That if you die in that spiritual state of being dead, you will be eternally dead. Now, somebody talked to me Sunday about being eternally dead, and they said, well, when you're dead, you're just dead. It's not what the Bible teaches. Let me give you some verses here. Matthew chapter 13, 49 and 50. This is what Jesus says. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't sound like it's just dead to me. In Mark 9:43, Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Eternal death is a conscious existence. Jesus, not my words, Jesus' words, says it's an eternal fire that isn't quenched, and it's a place where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like good, peaceful, restful sleep to me. Some people want to think that if you die apart from Christ, that you're just separated from God, and that's the end of it for you. No, man. It's fire, it's agony, it's torture, that's why we're so blessed. It's because we were dead, right? We were spiritually dead, and being spiritually dead, we were on the path to eternal death, to this place. I was going to hell, folks. People would tell me that all the time. I was headed there. You were headed there. Man, what do we have in Christ? We have eternal life. He made us alive. We were dead. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, it says. In verse 2 it says, we walked according to the course of this world. Hey, we were just doing the worldly thing, right? Whatever the world said was right, that's okay with me. You know, what does the world say? It says, go to the right school, get good grades, get a good job, get lots of money, get the right car. You can't just get a car. You got to get the right car, right? Wear the right clothes. Oh, this is the right clothes. Wear the right watch, the right sunglasses, and on and on and on and on. The right flips. You got to have the right flips. And it just goes on and on and on about what's important and how you should live your life. If you watch TV, they'll tell you how to brush your teeth, how to rinse your teeth, how to floss your teeth, how to take your teeth out and clean them at night. Yeah, it's amazing the course of this world. And this worldly influence, it's all around us, right? It's hard to escape. Go down I-10. Billboards. Golly. Some of them are amazing. Some of them I just no, that's insane. There's a source of the worldly influence. And the source of that influence, Paul says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. I've got a bunch of old commentaries, and I wanted to see what the old commentaries had to say about the prince of the power of the air, because it's an interesting title. Albert Barnes, 1798 to 1870, he says, why he is here called the prince having power over there is not easy to determine. That's good. People's New Testament, 1891, says, why he is called prince of the power of the air is not certain. He must have copied from Barnes. Adam Clark said it's not clear. He lived 1715 to 1832. He said it's not clear. He said Satan is termed prince of the power of the air, probably because the air is supposed to be a region in which malicious spirits dwell, all of whom are under the direction and influence of Satan, their chief. Right on! Right on! He got it! Look, we live in a physical realm, right? We can see, we can touch the physical realm. We also live in a spiritual realm, right? Y'all know this. When Satan fell, he took one-third of the host of heaven with him, right? So, there are demons, spirits, in the spiritual realm in which we live. Ah! But we don't have to freak out. Because if a third fell, two-thirds remain. The odds are 2-1. Angels on angels. But then there's God that kind of trumps everything. So the demons don't matter, right? That's who's on our side. We got God. We've got two-thirds of the host of heaven. Oh yeah, and we have God. So we win. We don't have to be freaked out. But this title is interesting to me. It's interesting to you too, isn't it? Okay, prince of the power of the air. How many of you have thought, man, that's TV and radio. I'm the only one? Good. That's what I think. Have you ever heard or seen Howard Stern? Oh. Prince of the power of the air in the flesh. See, there's an ungodly influence in the television industry. Y'all know that, don't you? You're not ignorant of this fact, right? The prince of the power of the air is influencing the airwaves. He is. I mean, just turn on a rap station and listen. If you can understand it. Hey, there's something funny. I don't understand a lot of stuff that I hear on the radio, and it's like, oh man, I'm old. There's music that I can't understand. But then I was watching church TV, and they had these ladies singing, ah! And I couldn't understand anything they were saying either. So it was like, oh, okay, cool. They just need to enunciate. That's their problem, right? Anyway, television, radio, ungodly influence. It is being influenced by Satan, the prince of the power of the air. I mean, you turn on TV and it's fornication, it's adultery, it's drunkenness, it's drug abuse, it's greed, it's anger, it's hatred. Dwell on these things. No. No. My daughter, she's in Hollywood. She's working in Hollywood. She's going to be on The Practice. Season opener. Oh, she doesn't have a real part. I love you, Jenny, if you ever listen to this. She's in the courtroom. She's an extra. I've never seen The Practice. I asked my wife, I said, have you seen this? She said, yeah. I said, is it bad? She said, it's not too bad. No, this is what she said. It's bad, but it's not too bad. That's frightening. See, because what TV does is it desensitizes us to sin. And so we start looking at things and saying, well, that's not too bad. Compared to Howard Stern, you know? But still, it has ungodliness in it. Why would you dwell on those things? Why would you put that into your mind? Why would you feed yourself with those things? I like Ozzie and Harriet. I watched it the other night. It's trip. There's nothing offensive in it. There was nothing offensive in it. I watched something on PAX here. There's a show, I haven't seen it, Doc. And my wife said, it's great that they have Bible verses in it. And they give a biblical message. And it's like, oh, way cool. But for the most part, network television is just corrupt and ungodly. And that ungodliness is influencing people's actions. The head of MTV said, teenagers, we don't influence them. We own them. Isn't that scary? We own them. They think they own them. The influence from MTV is so much, they're dictating behavior to our children. It's scary, y'all. The prince of the power of the air. Man, it's in the airwaves, isn't it? It's there. I see a modern day application. It says in verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Why did we act that way? It's our nature. Yeah. Well, sometimes I go, I can't believe I did that. That's my nature. Look, you take a pig, you dress him up, right? Still a pig. You bathe him, you powder him, you put some cologne on him, you know, put flips on his feet, nice t-shirt. He goes out and he's going to roll in the mud. He's going to root around in the mud because that's what pigs do. They root in the mud. It's their nature. Our nature is sinners. And that's what we were acting like. We were acting like sinners. But God, God, He is so full of grace. He's so full of mercy. That's what it says here. We were by nature children of wrath, just as others, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But God, oh, we were ugly. We were caught. We were trapped in sin and trespass. We were dead. And we were on our way to hell. But God, two words. Those might be the most powerful two words in the whole Bible. But God. This is what was happening. But God. He changes everything. Everything changes because of God. We were out there doing our own thing. But God. 53 times in the New King James. But God. Most of the time, it speaks about a circumstance or a situation. Bad. But God. It's a great study. If you have a computer, you want to go and check some of the verses. I want to give you some, okay? Because they're good. They're good. In Genesis 31:6, we see Jacob. He's spent his time with Laban. He's fleeing. He's talking to Rachel and Leah. He says, "Your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me." This bad thing's happening, but God did not allow him to hurt me. Laban's coming after Jacob. He's going to kill him. He's going to take the flock. He's going to get it all. It says here about Laban, "Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey. And he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. Just leave him alone. Just shut up.'" But God. Jacob's going to get hurt, but God. Joseph, speaking to his brothers, he says, "As for you, you meant evil for it. But God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is today, to save many people alive." That's Genesis 50:20. The psalmist, there's 4 or 5 psalms. David says, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 73:26. Paul uses the phrase over and over. He said, "But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's what this is all about, right? We were going our own way. We were doing our own thing. We were lost in sins and trespasses. But God, who is rich in mercy, He saved us from all of that. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from our trespasses. In verse 4 and 5, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In verses 4 and 5, we see God's grace and mercy, right? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We were dead in sins and trespasses. What we deserved was a spanking. What we deserved was judgment. What we got was grace. And it's because of God's love. God, He's full of love. God is love. My son Matthew, he went to Awanus. First verse for him. God is love. He can say it. First John. Paul 8. That's cute. God is love, and His love is demonstrated to us. It's translated into action. Love is translated into action. That action is grace and mercy. We look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's His love. That He gave His only begotten Son. That's His grace. That whosoever believes will not perish. That's mercy. But have everlasting life. That's grace. Love translates into action. It isn't God's love that saved us. It's God's grace that saved us. It's God's mercy that saved us. Because He loved us, He responded in action towards us. It's a cool thing. If we say we love God, I'm not going to say but hate your brother. But I want to look at something else. If we say we love God, if we say we belong to God, if we say that we're His, our love should be translated into action, shouldn't it? Talk's cheap. Ah, love you, love you. Demonstrate it. Translate it into action. That's what God does. He translates love into action. So that we can actually see, hey man, here's a demonstration of God's love. He died for me. Here's a demonstration of God's love. He showed me grace and mercy. If we're children of God, if He's working in us with love, there should be a demonstration of that love in our life, right? We should have the fruit of the Spirit being demonstrated. And working out towards other people in their lives, right? God demonstrated His love by raising us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. It's too wonderful for me. It's too high, I can't attain to it. That's what the psalmist said. Man, physically I'm seated here. Positionally, I'm seated with Christ. It's interesting. If I'm seated with Christ, I have a heavenly view. If I'm seated with Christ, my thought, my attitudes, how I look at things, should be in line with godly principles, shouldn't they? Because I'm not down here in the world. My mind shouldn't be focused on the things of the world if I'm seated with Christ. In Colossians 3:1, Paul tells us, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Because I'm seated with Christ, I should have that heavenly perspective. I should have my mind focused on the things of God. Whatever's true, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, dwell on those things, right? Not on whatever's Howard Stern, or I can't think of anything worse on TV than that. If I could, I'd say, but I don't know. Is there anything worse? Does any there is people?
C-SPAN.
Well, yeah, an interesting one. Yeah. Yeah, that's Prince of the Power of the Air is certainly working there sometimes, huh? So he has raised us and sat us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he gives us the reason here that he raised us, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I love this. He raises us so that he may show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We're going to be in heaven. People are going to come by. I'm going to be there hanging out. Right? And people who don't know that I'm saved are going to walk by and they're going to say, "Hey, Steve Brown is here." Wow. God is so rich in his kindness and his grace. I knew Steve before he was saved. He was hanging out at Chilcoot Charlie's and Gussie Lamore's. He's a stumble bum. He's wasted. Is a mess. But look at God's grace. Now, when they say, "Steve, what are you doing here?" I'm going to say, "I'm with him." Yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm with Jesus. Have you ever been at a place with somebody out? What are you doing here? I remember going to a party. I'm with Rick. Rick was way cool. Everyone wanted to hang with Rick. They didn't want to hang with me. I'm with Jesus. That's what I'm just here because he's here. I'm here because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his faithfulness, because of his goodness. Because I certainly can't boast, right? There's nothing that I did. And in fact, Paul addresses that in the next verse. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." When we get there, no boasting except in him. Right? He's the one that we brag about. He's the one we boast about. That's all the boasting. Because we couldn't do anything to save ourselves. We were utterly lost. There was nothing we could do. We had to live perfectly, remember. We had to be perfectly loving. We had to be like God. We couldn't make it. We couldn't do it. We could try. Or somebody like me, I just gave up. You know, I didn't even try. Grace is the basis of our salvation. And we access this grace. Check this out. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." How do you access grace? Through faith. It says in Romans 5, it says, "Therefore, having been," 5, 1 and 2, "therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We access God's grace by faith. However, faith we get from God, right? Faith is a gift of God. So, grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. God says in Romans 12:3 that God has given to each a measure of faith, right? So he gives it to you. It tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So as we delve into God's Word, it builds faith so we can do what with it? This is cool. So we can access grace. We need grace, God's grace in our lives. We need the manifold grace of God, right? We need grace for patience, right? Oh, Lord, I'm losing my patience. Give me grace. Oh, you know what the Lord did for me? You know how I was going crazy, right? My children, my wife, my job, my home, all coming together at once, and I'm it? Oh, it was awful. I was going nuts. Lord, help me. I need some grace. So what did he do? Granny and Papa. They come over. They get the kids. Oh, praise God. The kids were gone yesterday afternoon. They were gone last night. I just sat with my wife last night. Just sat. Did nothing. Just sat. It was awesome. It was great. They were gone all day today. It was great. They were home 5 minutes, and I heard Amy, "Don't you start that." 5 minutes. God gives us grace when we need grace, right? We come boldly before His throne of grace in our time of need that we may receive grace from Him, right? That's what we do. We our faith accesses God's grace, and He gives us more and more faith so we have more and more access to His grace. We look at this verse, it's so awesome. For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. The whole thing, grace comes from Him. Salvation comes from Him. Faith comes from Him. We haven't done anything. There's no room for boasting. Our works to make us acceptable before God, filthy rags. That's it. His work makes us acceptable to God. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness and makes us acceptable before God, right? Then Paul says in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Most of you know, I think, that this word workmanship, is it something else in the NAS there, Tony? Workmanship? NIV? Anybody have an NIV? Okay. Bless you. For we are His workmanship. This word is in the Greek is poema. Y'all know that? It's a good Greek word. You want to know this Greek word. We are His poema. P-O-E-M-A. Poema. Ah, it's a great word. There's a song about the Lord. It says, "You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song." Have you ever heard? I love that song. Does Lou play it? I love that song. Yeah, I'll play it again forever. I'll say it again forever. He's beautiful. He's a work of art. That's what poema means. Work of art. We are His workmanship. We are His work of art. We're His craftsmanship. We're that beautiful poem. This is where we derive our word poem. Is from the Greek word poema. It's that beautiful work of art. That's what we are to Him. Isn't that amazing? Man, I tell you. In this section, we've gone from being dead to being made alive. To being dead in sin and trespasses in that lost life, that empty life, going from that desperate condition, we were terminal, to being remade, renewed. We're a work of art. We're His poema. It says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is one of the reasons He saved us. And not so we can just sit around and hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. But He wants us to be lights to the world. Right? He wants us to let our light shine so that people see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Now, we're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. James said, faith without works is dead. He's saying, look, if you've got faith, babe, demonstrate it. Step out into it. Oh, what does that mean? What is he saying? He's saying, step out. Go ahead. God created you for good works. There are things that he wants you to do for him, that he has given you the privilege of doing. Because check it out, he doesn't need you to do it. He could do it all by himself so much better. He's got these dudes that are called angels. That they walk through a camp and thousands die. One angel. Angels could do it better. They're looking in saying, boss, what are you doing? Steve, of all people, Lord, you could have done better. He says, yeah. I take the foolish things of the world to confound the wisdom of the wise. I've given him this work to go be a pastor in Mississippi. And look, he's stepping out into it. See, faith is working. And God gives us faith, right? A measure of faith has been given to each one. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Y'all hearing the Word of God tonight? And it builds up faith in us for what purpose? So that we can access grace, right? And that grace is going to be manifested by works, by good works. Now, you don't get brownie points for that, I don't think. I did 37 good works. Look at me. No, you step out into it because it pleases the Lord. What are those good works? Man, I wish I could tell you what they are for you. A lady called me yesterday, and she asked me, she said, I was raised Catholic, and I've heard these guys on the radio saying that you've got to be saved and born again, and I don't quite get it, and what does this mean? I told her, let's go to John chapter 3. Do you have the Bible? Not with me. That's okay. I can tell you the story, okay? You can read it later. Told her about Nicodemus coming to Jesus. Jesus telling Nicodemus, truly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again if he's old? And we talked about this thing, being born again and being saved. And I asked her, would you like to? And she said, yes. And I said, let's pray. You start, I'll finish. And she said, Jesus, I want to be saved. Good praying. Good praying. I said, okay, you're saved. We prayed a little more. Now, she says, I want to come to church. Man, I'm stoked, right? I live for this stuff. Okay, I got to find somebody who lives by her. Who lives by her? Jim and Melissa. I called Jim and Melissa. Melissa says, oh, this is freaking me out. I'm telling her this story. Why is this freaking? It sounds so familiar. Really? Yeah. Where does she live? Melissa knows the girl. The girl's bipolar. She's gone through this many times with many pastors before in the past. But check this out. The girl's bipolar. She has a problem, or that's what she's diagnosed. There's many causes for that that I don't understand. You know, it can be spiritual, it can be physical, it can be biological, chemical. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and I don't know. But the Lord knows. And I was praying, and I was saying, Lord, what do you want us to do with Michelle? It's not her name. But what do you want us to do with her? Yeah, she's bipolar, and she gets saved every few months, goes to a different church. So are we just supposed to dump her? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the Lord wants us to minister to her. I think the Lord wants us to love her and just give her grace. And to pray for her. And we'll pray the Lord will heal her, right? He may. Other people have anointed her and prayed for her. She may not be healed. But what does the Lord want us to do? Good works, huh? So, this lady needs a ride to church, y'all. I would pray very, very hard and very long before you said yes, that I want to do that. But you might consider it. Because I know the Lord wants us to love her with the love of Jesus. Would Jesus say, man, go to some other church. Go bother them. You're whacked. You're bipolar. No way. Jesus would touch her and heal her. That's what he'd do. He'd love her. He does. You know? And I think we need to be involved with this lady's life. What do you think? So if you think we ought to be involved in her life, you're going to have to step up. Isn't it interesting that you get an opportunity to be doing those good works that God has ordained beforehand? See, here's the thing, is God knew before the foundation of the world that I would be here. In fact, he predestined me here. It's not kismet. It's not fate. I don't have a chance. I had to walk in faith to get here. But God ordained for me to be here. If I wouldn't have come, he would have sent somebody else to be here. Right? So God establishes works prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, I've been praying about this lady today a lot. I didn't know we'd be going here tonight. This is something that just happened while we were sitting here. But I think it's right, and I think it's from the Lord. And so I'd ask you to pray about it. It may not be that. Maybe the Lord has something else for you to do. Patty, she came to me and she said, you know what? I think the Lord wants me to empty trash cans. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, we got trash cans. She said, yeah. Okay. I don't think he wants me to do anything else. Well, cool. Just empty trash cans. If that's all he ever asks you to do, do what he asks you to do. Good work. Empty trash cans. And then we're praying, and Patty says something about, and Lord, I think you want me to go teach the children. So now she's back there teaching the children. I asked her, I said, Patty, didn't you say that you just thought the Lord wanted you to empty trash cans? She said, yeah. So why are you teaching? I think he wants me to teach the children then. Oh, cool. And that's how the Lord works, see? It starts as one step at a time, right? He gives us one thing to do to see if we'll be faithful in that little thing, right? If you're faithful in that little thing, then he'll give you something else to do, right? We had to decide. We were in Idaho when Mississippi came up on the prayer screen. We had to decide what we're going to do. We went to California. We went to Bible college. Whew. Much better than going to Mississippi. We pray. Mississippi comes back up on the prayer screen. What do? We come to Mississippi. We have a little Bible study at the house. Tony's there. I'm there. My wife, Carly, your kids, my kids, we're there. Chuck came. God says, go to Wool Market? You got to be kidding me. I call Tony. Hey, I think the Lord wants us to move out of the house. You want to go and plant a church? No. Okay, well, I'm going. Yeah, I asked him if he wanted to, not whether he would. No, I don't want to, but yeah, I'll walk in it. I'll step out into it, right? And it's just one thing, one step at a time that the Lord leads us to, whatever that thing is. Whatever he wants you to do, there aren't any small good works, okay? They're just good works. No small ones, no big ones. They're just all good works. And he's ordained them for us. And we need to be seeking him to see what it is that he wants us to do with our lives, right? Because our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, right? With your body. Good works. Not to become a Pharisee. Look how good I am, right? Just to be fulfilling that thing for which you were saved, right? Surrendering yourself to God and letting him work in your life. Let's pray, y'all. Father God, we just come and we thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift up that young lady, the 28 years old that has bipolar and is bipolar. And we lift her up to you, Lord. Lord, we know that you love her, that you died for her, that you've given yourself for her. And Lord, as your people, I just ask that you would speak to us about her, how we could just serve her, how we could just minister to her. Lord, I just believe you want us to do that. Lord, I know there's other things that you want us to do, but you know my heart. That's been on my heart all day, and I just don't know how to respond to that, Lord. I pray, God, that you would show each one of us how to respond to you, how to respond to your leadings, how to respond to your promptings, how to respond, Lord, to ministry opportunities. It's all ministry, Lord. It's all serving you in our lives. Lord, you've given us faith. You've given us grace. You've given us salvation. You've given us everything. You've saved us for your plan and your purpose, Lord. So I ask, Father, that you would speak to each one of us, that you would move us in the direction that you want us to be, that we would be serving in those areas that you want us to serve, Lord, that we would just step out in it, in faith, just believing that you've called us to it, in seeking your grace to be able to do it, not that we can do anything of ourselves. We know, Lord, that the flesh accomplishes nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life, but you've given us the Holy Spirit. And you tell us, Lord, that we can do all things in you who strengthens us. So, Lord, I just pray that by your grace that you would lead your people into the works that you have established for them, that they would enter into them, whether it's emptying a trash can or whether it's going and visiting somebody who they know that's sick or washing somebody's car or just picking up the phone and saying, "Hi, I love you. I wanted to tell you that." Whatever it is, Lord, that you would speak to each one about the works that you have for them, Lord, and that you would give them the faith and the grace to step out in it, trusting you and just serving you, doing it all as unto you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless everyone here. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for your grace and your mercy in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless us all this week for your glory, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.